Can we turn over to Romans chapter 8, please? Romans chapter 8. And verse 28. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is God that justifieth? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our subject, as announced in the paper, would be God's providence, and then you have God's program, and then God's preservation of his own people, those who are born again, those who are washed in his blood, and how God will preserve them, even because of the demands of justice and judgment. And justice and judgment do have demands that must be satisfied and met. And yet God will preserve his own in the face of the demands, righteous demands of justice and judgment. And also because of the blows of circumstances that we read about. Many a Christian, a born-again Christian, knows something of experiencing blows, heavy, hard, frequent blows of trying circumstances. Is God able to preserve to these? Yes, he is. And then finally we have the forces of the universe unleashed to try and separate a believer from the Lord Jesus Christ, and the forces of the universe cannot. Now this is the subject of these verses. I do not believe we'll get through them all, but we'll do our best. First of all, verse 28, that is the providence of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In other words, it simply means that providence is an event or some circumstance that can be ascribed to God's interposition. God is behind this event, and these events may be many. And so we know that all things, I wonder if we do know, God knows that all things work together for good to them that love him. But the question is, and he's writing here to Christians, the Christians at Rome, he's not writing to unconverted people, he's writing to Christians. And the apostle says, we know. Now, God does know that all things are going to work together for our good. But the great question is, and it'll solve many a problem in our lives, it'll answer many a question. It will that all things work together for good to them that love God. You'll notice he's writing this to them that love God. That cannot be said of an unsaved person. An unsaved person may fear God. They may do that. They may reverence God. But they do not love God. Not until they come to know Christ as personal Savior and Lord. He loved him because he first loved us. I was brought up in a Christian home, a Bible in every room. I feared God. I reverenced his word. But I was not saved until I was 19 years of age. I didn't love him until that night when I did get saved. Then for the first time, love gushed up from my little heart. Love to God for the gift of his son. Love to Christ for laying down his life for me. And I did not really love God. Neither did I love Christ until I was saved. Then the love of God was shed abroad in our heart, my heart, your heart if you're a believer. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us to read in Romans 5, and I think verse 5. And so we have here then that love God. The first commandment says that we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. That's what the first commandment says. But the sad commentary on human nature is this, that we do not love him until we're saved. Now you have that mentioned plainly in 1 John chapter 5 and about verse 9, I think it is. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Now that's a sad statement, isn't it? Before we're saved, not that we love God. A God who is so loving, so kind, so powerful. And yet, can it be that there's no real love in a human heart for God? By nature, no. The Bible says we're born into the world sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. If then we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so there can be no real devotion or affection or love for Christ or God until we know him as Savior. Until we know him personally. You may reverence many a person. You may respect many a person. But you don't really love that person. And that's true with many a person today who is not a Christian. They respect God and the Lord Jesus Christ. They reverence him. But until they're saved, they do not love him. For if they did, they would obey his word. For Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Grace has been implanted in our hearts. We have, when saved, that capacity to really love God and love Christ. For the Spirit comes in, and the first fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, temperance, faith. But the first is love. Real love. I'll tell you what it means something to really love Christ and love him with all your heart. And this is what God wants. More than our service, he wants our love. I wonder if we really love him. Many, a wife is a good servant. I'm sad to say, that's about all. I've had many a wife admit to me that she looked after her husband, her family, a good housekeeper and a good cook. But something has happened. Something has come into their lives. And she has admitted, I don't really love my husband. And I've had husbands say the same thing. My wife is a good one. And she's a good housekeeper, a good cook, and a good lover to my children. But I question if she really loves me, like she did at the beginning. And that can be true of the husband toward the wife. Husbands can be good providers, work hard, but do they really with all their heart love their wife? If this were so, it would bring an end to all our domestic troubles. There's a big difference between serve and love. Big difference between duty and love. Many a boy is in Vietnam because he feels it's his duty. He's not there because he loves it. No. And so it's a grand thing when we really love Christ because of what he did for us. How do we prove we love him? As I've already mentioned, we prove it by keeping his commandments. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Or submit to his dealings with us as we have in our verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Then we are called according to his purpose. Call one for love of God and call, says the apostle. Call saints. And we're called with an heavenly calling. You read that in Hebrews 3:1. Called with a heavenly calling. Called from heaven. To the gospel. But called to heaven. When Jesus Christ comes again. Or when we pass away fall asleep in Christ. And so I wonder if you have heard the call. He's calling you from heaven. With a view that someday he'll call you up to heaven. He's calling you this morning through the gospel. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we have God's providence. We know that all things work together for good. The nature of this promise and providence. All things work. Love discerns the working of God's plan when all seems to be so still and stationary. You look up into the heavens, you see the stars, they look to be still, don't they? As if they were fastened in their socket of blue. They look as though they're stationary and nothing is moving. But those stars are moving at a terrific speed. Those stars are moving in their course at terrific speeds that our little minds can hardly grasp. Yet as we see them from this distance, they are stationary. And the same can be said of the sea. Sometimes you see the sea and it looks calm and all is still. The sea is never still. There's always a movement. In the ocean. You look at the sea and you notice, first of all, the ground beginning to break and a little sprout comes through. Now you could stay and watch that little sprout all day long and you wouldn't see it move. But after 3 or 4 days, you go back and take a look at it and it's a couple of inches high. But although it seems stationary for you, nothing's going on, no action. It is working. It is growing. Something is moving. And that's true in certain things in our life. All things work. You know, we're so impatient. We think everything's at a standstill. And we say, why God, doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God show his hand? We pray for certain things day after day and week after week and month after month, and nothing seems to happen. Our prayers don't seem to be answered. But God is with us. When everything seems so still, so stationary, God is working in His providence. Nature is working. The laws of nature are operating. You can't see your child grow. You look at your child, you could watch your child, you couldn't see any growth. After a few months, you may see signs of growth, whether outward or upward. All the time, although you can't see anything, nature's working. Nature. And so it is with God working with His people. All things work, and you'll notice all things work together for good. Love discerns the comprehensiveness of God's plan. All things work. Isn't that something? They work. Even setbacks, seeming reversion, opposition. Yes, all things are working. Take your biscuits, you Southerners, and of course I consider myself a Southerner now after being down here 38 years. Although I can't say I quite have the palate for biscuits like a lot of my brethren and sisters. Could you take those biscuits? Well, I presume, although I never tried to make one, or have I watched them being made. But I know one thing, you have some soda, and you have some flour, you have some shortening, you have some salt, I don't know what else is that. But I know you have those four things. At least I think you do. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll stand corrected. But none of those things by themselves are palatable. You wouldn't want to eat the salt by itself, or the shortening, or the flour, would you? Or any of those things taken by themselves, you wouldn't want to eat them. Mix them all together. Put them in the oven. You've got something that tastes it. All things work together for good. And that is true with a lot of experiences in our lives. You take them individually and they're bitter. They're unpleasant. If you have to take the bitter with the sweet, the tough with the tender, the showers with the sunshine, the hills with the valleys, all things are working together for good to them that love God. That's what this verse says. Love discerns through the harmony of God, discerns the harmony of God's plan. All things working together, yes, they're working together. One is a complement of the other. He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, says Job, I shall come forth by it like gold. I never think of that text without I recall an experience in my own life. 38 years ago when I came south with another preacher by the name of Fred Nugent, who is now with the Lord, one of the most godly men that I ever knew. I was with Mr. Nugent for three months, up in North Carolina in Canton, just out from Asheville. And so we went down to Raleigh to have a series of meetings, and from Raleigh we went to Newport News, and we had some meetings down there, and so the Christians back in Raleigh wanted me to come back, to leave Brother Nugent and come back and labor in Raleigh and make the home of the chapel, some of you have mentioned the chapel, make the home of the chapel my home. They said there were a lot of places around there in the country that needed the gospel, empty church buildings and so on, some empty school buildings where we could preach the gospel and see those days. In fact, a carload of them came down from Raleigh to Newport News to see if I wouldn't come back and make Raleigh my home, my base. Well, Brother Nathan didn't like the idea. He wanted me to stay with him, just like brothers, although he was 16 years older than I was. And I looked upon him, I leaned upon him possibly too much. But I finally made up my mind, much to his displeasure, but I felt the Lord wanted me back in North Carolina. So remember the day when we were taking the boat, they didn't have that long bridge then, across James River. And so I was taking the ferry over, and as he went down with me to the ferry, he took me down in his car. We stood on the dock. And he said, Lester, I don't think that you're in the mind of the Lord in this. I believe the Lord brought us together, and I believe he wants us to stay together. Well, I quoted this part of this verse. I said, Ted, God knows the way that I think. And I stopped. He said, do you know the rest of that verse? I said, no, I can't say I do right offhand. Well, he said, the rest of it is, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He said, if you're in the way the Lord is leading as you see it, and he knoweth the way that you take, he's going to try you. And I hope and pray you'll come forth as gold. And over these 38 years, I've had many and varied experiences. I've had my days of sunshine, my days of sorrow. I've known something of being discouraged and despondent, and I've known something of being very happy and joyful. Trials of various kinds and difficult. And as I look back over them all, I'm certainly glad I didn't know when I left Mr. Newton on the dock that day. I'm glad I didn't know what was before me. Except for a poem that was given to me, or rather fell from a book when I arrived in Raleigh. I think I mentioned this one time before. I took a book out of the bookcase, and a little pamphlet fluttered to the floor. I was wondering, was Fred right? Or with either. And as I started to read that piece of poetry, child of my love, fear not the unknown morrow, dread not the new demand life makes of thee. Thine ignorance doth have no cause for sorrow, for what thou knowest not is known of thee. Thou canst not see today the hidden meaning of my command, but thou shalt go upon my promise meeting, and as thou goest, all shall be made plain. As I look back now upon all the experiences of 38 years, I can say that all things have worked together for good. I wouldn't want for a moment to go back and try and take another course. I believe I took the course God wanted me to take. Now, it doesn't say in this verse that sins work together for good because they don't. All things, such as certain experiences you have that are human, experiences of various kinds, and you're going to get them, even if you're in the will of the Lord. The Lord Jesus was tempted of Satan. And if we accept these things as coming from an all-wise God, one who is too loving to be unkind and too wise to make a mistake, if we accept all things work together for good to them that love God. Now we know that, do you? You may be in one of those valleys right now. Can you find solace and encouragement in the fact that all things are working together for your good? That's what it says. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It is not good if our trials lead to a result. Is it not good, Valerie? If our trials lead to more likeness to Christ, is as a result of all these things one passes through, we emerge from that circumstance or that valley more like Christ, more spiritually minded, with greater love for the Lord Jesus, with greater faith in the living God. Is it not good? If all these experiences in life result in that which delights God, likeness to His Son. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Did you notice that? His purpose. God has a purpose in everything. And love sees the object of God's plan. That's what love sees. If we really love Him, we see the object of His plan. We like Christ, and we're willing to submit to these experiences, these circumstances, because we know that God has a purpose. He has an object, an aim before us, that we might be conformed into the image of His Son. It tells you that in that verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's God's object and aim. Why He permits this to happen and why He permits that to happen. As I think we said a few weeks ago, calm seas never make good sailors. There needs to be the rough seas. There needs to be the storms to make a good sailor. And if everything were sunshine, no shout, we'd be living in a desert, a wilderness, where no flowers could grow, no life could exist, if all were sunshine and no shout. All things work together for good to them that love God. Stroke upon stroke may fall, blow upon blow. Remember the Job, when blow after blow fell in his case, tidings, heavy tidings after tidings. He heard his flocks and servants were killed, his camels and crops were destroyed. Read this in the first chapter of Job. His seven sons and three daughters were killed all at the same time. How sad that was. Remember, his health then gave way. His body was full of open sores as he sat on the ash heap outside that Oriental village. The ashes that had been taken from the heaps of the little cottages, because there was some warmth in those ashes, and there he sat in the cold night, scraping his body in the corruption that was oozing from those open sores. And then his own wife told him to curse God and die. Yes, blow after blow fell upon Job. But in the end, Job saw the reason of it all. More people have been blessed through the book of Job than possibly any other book when it comes to receiving comfort and consolation and help through suffering. The book of Job has the answer. And then again, you remember old Jacob, he says, all these things are against me. He thought so. But though all those things were working together for good, God had a purpose in what happened to old Jacob when his sons were numbered, Joseph, as he thought was killed. Mine and then his other son, his younger son, Benjamin, was taken from him. He said, all these things are against me. Little did he realize that Joseph was to become the prime minister of Egypt. Jacob didn't know that. And he thought everything was against him. 16 years later, he saw that all that was in God's plan and purpose. And he didn't say that anymore. All these things are against him. He found out that all those things were for him. But it was Joseph who saved the nation because of his wisdom in his plan to save the corn for the 7 years of famine that there had come. The day will come when, like Rutherford said when he wrote this hymn, I'll bless the hand that guided, I'll bless the heart that planned to enthrone the glory dwelling in Emmanuel's land. How do we know that all things work together for good to them that love God? We know it by His Word, He tells us that. We know it by personal experience. We reflect upon some experiences we've had. They taught us lessons. They taught us things. We learned lessons. Now we say, I wouldn't have taken anything for that. I didn't like it at the time. But I see now it was good for me. My faith is strong. That only prepares you for another experience in which you'll learn another lesson. You can't stay in the nursery all your life. God wants you to go from grade to grade until finally you'll graduate. Yes, there's something to say about that tonight. We know that all things work together for good. His Word declares it. Personal experiences also endorse it. God's dealings with others are the ones I've mentioned, such as Job. And Joseph may have wondered why he was permitted to be sold by his brethren to the Israelites. He may have wondered, a boy of 16, sold down into Egypt. Later on, at the end of the book of Genesis, he tells God sent me before you into Egypt. He was in the plan and purpose of God. And what? And also you take the case of Paul. Paul was thrown into prison. Different times he speaks of himself as the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul might have murmured and complained in the prison, why am I in this prison? I could be out preaching. I could be making sense. But do you know the Apostle Paul wrote most of his epistles to the churches in the prison? They're called the prison epistles. Had Paul been out making sense and preaching and going here and there, he was too busy to sit down and write. He was too busy for God to use him. So God says, Paul, I'll put you in prison. I want you to write some letters, and we have them today. Pilgrim's Progress. Bunyan wrote that next to the Bible. Bunyan wrote it in prison. He too was persecuted for his faith in Christ, and he was put into prison. And in the prison, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Here's the aged Apostle John, 90 years of age, banished by Domitian, one of the Roman governors, emperor, banished into that little rocky isle in the Aegean Sea, about 90 miles off the mainland, the Asian mine. Banished, an old man of 90. To the little isle of Patmos. Yet it was there that God gave him the vision of the book of Revelation that tells us all about what's to come. What a glorious capstone to the canon of Scripture, the book of Revelation given to the aged Apostle John in the little isle of Patmos. There he was, more or less exiled, because of his faith, that God used that exile to give us the glorious revelation of the book of the Revelation. All things working together for good for them that love God. Fanny Crosby, who wrote so many beautiful hymns, especially that one, Just As I Am Without One Plea. She was operated on when only a child. And the surgeon made a mistake that she was blind for the rest of her life. Time and time again, she said in later years, The surgeon was so beast with it. Because of his blunder, he regretted it the rest of his life when he didn't live. Fanny Crosby says, if I could meet, I would thank him again and again and again for the blunder that he made. As she said, I never would have written of him or had the experience to be a listener had it not been for his mistake. All things work together for good. Them that love God and were called according to his purpose. Young girl of 21, wanting to go to India, dedicated her life to go to India as a missionary. Just as she was about ready to sail, her mother took sick, seriously sick. She had to stay home for 3 years and look after her mother. Then she thought, well, I'm going to go now, mother's gone. She went to the West Coast to see her sister on her way to India. And when she got there, her sister took ill. She had to nurse her sister for a few years. And after those 2 years, why, the father died. Her sister died, and then the father of these children died. 5 children! She thought, well, what else can I do? And she wrote to a friend, she says, God has given me this lonely household as a mission field. I've got 5 children to look after. 15 years passed. She's 45 now. 3 of those 5 children, they're leaving as missionaries to go to northern India. The very field she was going. That 300% interest. She was going to go. God says, no, wait a while. I'll send 3 instead of 1. She didn't know when all these experiences befell her that God was behind it all, and all things were working together for good. For them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But no unsaved person can take comfort from this. And ever, you can't say as a sinner that all things are working together for your good. They're not. And yet I have known of cases where certain things that happened did bring a sinner to Christ. We have, I think, something for the unsaved in Job. In verse 14 of chapter 33, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. There's God speaking in the gospel, pleading with the sinner through the preaching of the gospel to accept Christ. That's the first thing. Second, in verse 15, in a dream. In a vision of the night when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, God speaks sometimes in dreams. He never saves anybody in a dream, but he can use a dream. I used to dream when I was in my teens of the coming of the Lord, and I knew my parents were saved and going to heaven. I knew my 3 sisters were saved, and if Christ came, they would go to heaven, and were all older than myself. And my younger brother, Reggie, and the one who was with me 2 weeks ago, he was still quite young. I knew that if the Lord came, they went. They would go. I'd be left behind. Mother and father gone to heaven if Jesus came. My sisters and brothers gone to heaven and I'd be left behind. I dreamed about that on 2 or 3 occasions and I woke up in a sweat. Glad to realize it was a dream and not reality. But I'll tell you, it spoke to me. Then said something else here. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, in verse 19. God brings him down upon his back. Verse 20. so that his life abhorreth bread and his soul daily meat.
His appetite's gone.
His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out.
Emaciated.
Verse 22, yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyer.
At the point of death. What do we read in verse 29?
Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes in man to bring back his soul from the pit.
See the two verses? In Romans 8 and 28, he's speaking to this.
All things working together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his will. In Job 33, he's speaking to the unsaved, giving us seven things that can bring a sinner to Christ.
Think of Job, how he lost all his family, his property, his possessions, his health. And as we read here, these 60, seven in all, here is God bringing the man down to the point, face to face with death. Why is he doing it? Is God cruel? Is God a monster? No. If God loves, if God has to destroy your body to reach your soul, he'll do it.
Because he'll give you a new body on the resurrection morning. What God sends us today is soul, not body. God wants you to inhabit heaven, not hell. And far better for you to be saved and have a full body than to be lost and have a healthy body. And in Job 33, it's God dealing with man about his sins and his need of salvation, and blow after blow is falling until he's dropped down. Until, as we read in that very chapter, any man say, I have sinned. And the blood of that which was right, then God has a messenger with the message, delivering from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. That ransom is the Lord Jesus Christ. He found them in his own bosom. Christ was in the bosom of the Father in eternity past. God says to man, I have found a ransom. I can now on a righteous basis deliver you from going down to the pit. I've given my son. I allowed him to depart from my very bosom into the world by way of Bethlehem on his way to the cross, Calvary, where he laid down his life and shed his blood that you might be saved. Here's God's purpose in dealings with his own children. His providence, all circumstances in life working together for good, that they might be conformed to the image of God's Son. His dealings with the unsaved, that they might be awakened as blow after blow fall, each blow more severe than the former one, until man bends his knee and says, God, be merciful to me, the Son. Wise the man and wise the woman who will yield and not fight. I fought against God for years. From the time I was about 13 or 14 until I was 19, I rebelled against the Spirit of God's privacy. I fought against various circumstances that should have brought me to my senses. I wanted a good time. I wanted my way in life. I had plans. I could have said, Lord, you're true. But I look back. I praise him that he won the battle and I lost it. I fought against him to let me win. Had he let me win, I wouldn't be saved today and I wouldn't be saved. But I'm thankful I let God win that struggle, that battle. I gave in, sitting beside my own father in the kitchen of our home in Stratford, Ontario. I accepted Christ. The battle was over, and peace filled my heart. And I've praised God for it ever since. And I will throughout eternity. So to you who are saved, take upon that text, God's promise, all things working together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. To you who are not saved, God has means and methods too of bringing you down. But finally, you bend your knees. Oh, don't slip in your neck. And say, I will. Father, say, Lord, I will. I will come. I'll come right now. I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. Lord, I'll throw up my hand. I'll hoist the white flag. I'll lay down my weapon. I'll come just as I am. Without one plea that death thy blood was shed for me. That thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. Okay. Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence. We ask thy blessing upon thy grace. Help us as Christians. Thou hast given us a picture. Thy dealings with us. May we see that picture in the frame where we begin throughout eternity. When we look upon all that happened to us as for the best, we might be conformed to the image of thy Son. Those who are not Christians, O God, speak to them this morning. May they be willing at this moment to come to Christ. Thou didst love them. Thou didst give thy Son. Now thou art seeking to woo them to thyself. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. O God, we trust this morning decisions will be made for Christ and for eternity. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.